Hey everybody, this is Kevin Grossman, President of Global Programs at Talent Board. Before we get to the podcast, I want to remind you that there's still time to participate in the 2017 Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research Program. Also, the 2017 North American Candy Symposium and Awards Gala will be on October 2nd this year in Nashville, and we're really excited and pleased to have Shannon Miller as our keynote speaker. Shannon is a decorated American Olympic gymnast with 7 Olympic medals and the only female athlete to be inducted in the U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame twice. Shannon will share the competitive lessons she faces as an elite athlete and how they can be applied to the business of recruiting and candidate experience today. And we hope to see you there. You can find out more by going to thetalentboard.org. Now, enjoy the podcast.
So we took a hard look at our processes, feedback from our candidates, and then also external research, and defined a set of promise statements that we publicly display and share with our candidates today. We promise to be fair, transparent, fast and accessible, informative, and always provide opportunities for communication and feedback.
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman, because improving candidate experience always impacts the business bottom line. The Candy Shop Talk podcast welcomes Becky Feldman, System Leader for Talent Management Systems and Technology at SSM Health, and a proud Candidate Experience Award winner. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Becky, thank you so much for joining me today on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Before we dive into the rest of the show, why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do today?
Sure, I'm excited to be here. My name is Becky Feldman. I live in St. Louis, Missouri, and I have worked for SSM Health for almost 14 years now. And I started actually on the clinical side as a psych tech. And I was going to pursue my master's in counseling, but changed my gears to a master's in business when I recognized issues of turnover, accountability, and training needs really in my own environment. My educational background varies very widely from graphic design, religious and women's studies, and then management. And then my professional background varies from OD, education and training, benefits, HRIS, IT, project management, and talent management. So I've been told I'm a very unique blend of HR and IT, which has been very successful recently in my redesign projects, really to understand the changing needs of the business to really make a difference in the organization. My current role is really defining and implementing technology and also the processes that support both the experience of our employees and our candidates. We have over 33,000 employees across 4 states, and we receive hundreds of thousands of applications each year for our open positions.
So Becky, you're probably getting a lot of emails and phone calls from solution providers, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You're the tag. You're it. You're the one.
That's right. It's me.
Well, that's right. No, that's great. It's an amazing background. And I love the aspect about wanting at one point wanting to be a psych tech. I actually had almost a similar path in a way where psychology was my major. And I thought at the time was going to pursue more of at least a master's, if not beyond, in psychology and counseling and research and a lot of areas I was exploring at the time. And lo and behold, completely changed gears on that one. And look at, but now we're talking the candies today, right?
Right.
And you know, what's funny is that I've never had a business class. And all, even when I started a master's and didn't finish, that was going to be in English literature, actually, back in the day or back in the early 90s. And I never have. Everything I've learned is on the street.
Right. I can tell you a lot that I learned in those classes, I've never used, ever. Some of your undergrad, you're never going to use it.
So listen, Becky, tell us about SSM Health and the candidate experience journey. So, you know, I don't know how far you want to go back or even if it's in the context of the time that you've been there, but how did this start? I mean, when did the organization start looking at candidates a little bit differently and more like customers?
Really, the journey started in 2015 when I came over onto the business side of talent acquisition. Previously, I was on the IT side of talent acquisition. So we really set out to redesign the entire talent acquisition process. And I identified these issues from the IT side and eventually got the business to understand, oh, hey, we've got an issue here. So what prompted us to really make candidate experience a priority was really the informal feedback we were getting from our candidates. I can remember conversations that I overheard at my kids' soccer games, and it didn't make me feel very proud to be working for the talent organization when I heard the stories that they were sharing. So our first reaction, you know, to this feedback is, oh, it doesn't take that long. The experience isn't that bad. But then the second, you know, the question, our thought that came up was, well, how do we really know? We weren't measuring anything. So we took a hard look at our processes, feedback from our candidates, and then also external research, and defined a set of promise statements that we publicly display and share with our candidates today. We promise to be fair, transparent, fast and accessible, informative, and always provide opportunities for communication and feedback. And we define the candidate really all the way from attraction to hire, and we strive for that experience to be exceptional at every step of the way.
And this is why you won a candy last year, right?
Absolutely. We're delivering on that promise.
That's huge. And I mean, I'm not disparaging it at all, because it does make for a nice, you know, framed picture on the wall. And it's an amazing sentiment. When you're putting it in practice, though, and not only mm-hmm. that, sustaining it over time, right? Because, you know, the pressures on any given business, particularly in the healthcare industry that you guys are in, they're dynamic, and you know, sometimes you're at the mercy of what's going on politically and economically, and mm-hmm. you know, the list goes on, right? So for you to be able to do that and put that in practice, I mean, for those keeping score at home who are listening, you know, every year with Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards, we give literal awards away to the companies that have the highest candidate ratings. It's not a judge process. It's solely based on the candidates' ratings of their experience at that particular company of going through the hiring process, regardless of how far they got. And as we all know, most of us don't make it to the end. 99 out of 100 of us don't get the job. So that's amazing and fantastic, and love hearing that you guys continue to put that in practice. Let me ask you about, there had to have been some challenges though, right? I mean, what were some of the challenges, whether it was related to the TA teams themselves, processes that were mm-hmm. in place at the time, technology? I mean, you did say you overhauled the technology. That's awesome. The recruiting technology stack, I guess you'd say, and their approach to that. But what else was a challenge that you had to overcome?
Yeah, so I think other organizations can probably, you know, this probably sounds very familiar to them, but, you know, as big of an organization as we are, we really didn't have a real applicant tracking system until 2011. You know, we functioned off homegrown systems, and really the issue was when we first implemented our first formal ATS, we just took the paper application and made it electronic. The other issue is, you know, talent acquisition team members function very differently in our four-region organization. So the process looked different in all of our markets. And so one of the main challenges we faced in 2015 during the redesign was changing the way that we've always done it and ensuring that all of our markets were being heard to develop a standard way of delivering an exceptional experience. And I know standard is a scary word as you're going through these types of processes, because nobody wants to change. So we really looked at it as more of an optimization instead of standardization, because that word just didn't resonate with people. So we interacted with all customers in the TA process to hear what was going on, hiring leaders, employee health, education, and our candidates, because our end goal was we wanted to provide consistent results, and we couldn't do that with all of these different processes in place.
Tell me what that person at your kid's game said. You don't have to tell me who it is, but I'm just curious. And the reason why I'm asking, and I'm in all seriousness, because you know, in the data that you get back from Talent Board, and do you do your own surveying as well, feedback surveys?
We do. Okay. We do some of our own internal surveying, and then we also have a voice of the customer survey that we do with another vendor that is for hired candidates, non-hired candidates, and also our hiring managers, and look at recruiter perceptions.
That's awesome. So give me just an example of like what you heard. What made you kind of go, ugh, and like just go, what, and go ugh inside? What was it?
So really it was around timely response to candidates. So as I'm sitting in the bleachers at the game, St. Louis is a very competitive nursing market.
Sure.
So what I heard sitting there in the bleachers at my kid's soccer game was a nurse talking to a friend saying that she applied to several healthcare organizations in the St. Louis area. And if you're familiar with the St. Louis nursing market, you know that it's highly competitive. This nurse was sharing with her friend the timeline of when she heard back from the recruiter at each respective hospital. And it was embarrassment to me how long it took a recruiter to respond to a candidate's application, especially a nurse in a critical to fill job market.
There's two primary negative reasons that candidates withdraw from the process at any point of the process, but probably maybe in later stages, but based on what I'm about to say. But this comes from our research, and again, from the data we derive from all of you, the employers that participate, whether you want a candidate or not. And the first one is disrespecting my time at appointments and interviews. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most negative ones. I mean, there's a lot of answer sets that we give to the candidates when they answer the surveys, but that's one of the top ones. And the other one is it just took too long. The process just took too long. And now today, I mean, I know that the nursing market has always been a very, very competitive market, as you said, and more of a difficult one to source into. And we don't have to go down that path in particular, but because, you don't go on LinkedIn to find nurses, right?
Right.
So, but the fact of the matter is that it's right now, and this is just reminiscent of a conversation I just had earlier today with somebody about how tight the talent market really is right now across industries. Again, you can't afford to, forgive the expression, dink around with your candidates at all. And unfortunately, too many of us do that on a regular basis. Let's talk a little bit about data and the kinds of metrics that you're using. So I'm sure that there are standard recruiting metrics that you and your team focus on, but is there any that relate at all in particular to the candidate experience itself? So you do a lot of surveying. I just ask you that.
Yep.
And so are you looking at recruiter, and hiring manager performance ratings, referral impact, et cetera? What kinds of things are you looking at?
Yeah, as you mentioned, we have several data points, and a lot of them are standard, across the industry. But the ones that I want to highlight really are those that support our promise to candidates, where we actually know that we, have stated this promise and we're delivering on it. And the main one is timely movement in the candidate workflow. We don't believe that any candidate should sit more than 7 days in any step of the process, especially when first applying to one of our critical need positions. So we measure stalls, as we call them, on behalf of the recruiter and on the behalf of the hiring leader. So if we've passed on a candidate that we know is a good fit for the position, we're gonna monitor how long that hiring manager sits on that particular candidate. Again, because we want to be respectful, we want to be timely in processing that candidate. We also look at time to complete the application, and we went. In 2015, anecdotally, we had heard that it took 35 minutes to complete the application or longer. And, we didn't measure at that point, but we are measuring now. And the median completion time is 3.5 minutes. And 90% of the candidates who start the application end up finishing it. And that is remarkable, even, in healthcare and beyond. That's just crazy sounding. So we're really proud of that. But the CANDY data tells us that the candidates actually perceive that it takes longer. So while we are measuring start to finish 3.5 minutes, the candidates, as they answer that question on the CANDY survey, they're perceiving it takes longer. So we're continuing to look for ways to change this perception. An application probably isn't the most fun thing in the world to do.
No.
So maybe we just need to make it more interactive and more personal and a little bit more fun as much as we can with the standard ATS so that they perceive that it was quick and easy.
But today probably with maybe more of some of the newer systems and I'm not sure exactly what system you have and it's fine. And we don't have to tell me who it is, but this is one of our amazing sponsors, then you can tell me. Anyway, that's a little it's a little wink. But you, here's the thing. I think it's with the platforms of today, at least in the past decade, they are more malleable. They are more. I wouldn't. It's not synonymous with fun, per
right,
se.
Right.
But a lot of companies are collapsing the front end a little more and more to make it a little bit more palatable to get in the door. And then you've got your back end processes, whether it's further moving them along an assessment, pipeline, a screening here, whatever, wherever it is. Get them in the door first. Don't put everything at the front door to saying you have to complete this 1 hour application to get in. Again, I know it's going to vary from industries and companies and types of organizations, but that seems to be a trend of all the companies like you that I've spoken with in the past 2 years. That's definitely a trend of making it, collapsing it a little bit further in the front end, on the initial application and getting in the door. But the thing I loved, what I heard you said, and I'm sure you can't be the only organization that refers to it this way, but I've never heard anybody say that you measure stall, at least not described that way. And I love it. No, I think that's awesome. And I'm all like excited because when I hear things that are new and refreshing that I haven't heard in our space, that's something that, again, not saying that there are other companies that probably do it, but I've never heard somebody say, oh yeah, we measure stall. And I love it, everything that also connotes too. So, I mean,
Right. That's what someone feels. And that's why we like to call that out. Someone is feeling that time elapsing. And
yes.
So, we call that out. It also helps create, that accountability and that partnership between our recruiters and our hiring leaders as well, so that we can say, we got the candidates to you. And now you are sitting on those candidates, and how are we, supposed to provide this exceptional service, an exceptional experience when we're not all on the same page working towards that same goal?
You know what? One thing that is a little bit disheartening. I mean, not what you're sharing with me, because you're obviously, you guys continue to do amazing work on recruiting and candidate experience. But this year's data already is kind of pushed north a little bit on the amount of time that folks have been waiting and still never hearing back after they've applied. So overall, last year it was about 47%. This is just kind of a big bucket correlation between, everybody who's applied within 2-3+ months ago and what the next step for them was they hadn't heard anything yet. So we deduce that from that. I mean, they could have been contacted on day 91, right? But the fact of the matter is 2-3+ months, and 47% last year, now it's 52% already with the early returns from this data, since we've already, closed the door on the survey for this year. That's half of the candidates are saying, again, through the survey research, that they're just not hearing back after they've applied. That's just, it's disheartening. So it is refreshing to hear that you guys have really made it very important and very, very much prioritized internally. Now, that said, are you holding the recruiters and hiring managers accountable in any way, or is there a scorecard, anything in regards to performance?
Yeah, so we definitely do have scorecards in place regarding performance, and one of those metrics is on closing the loop. We actually measure active candidates left on a filled requisition. That should never happen.
Right.
As you're going to make an offer to someone, there should be maybe 3 people left on that requisition, in case that person doesn't accept the offer. So we believe that we do a great job of closing the loop with our candidates, but what we do think we can improve on is more personal communication from our recruiters to candidates when they're not hired, and especially to our internal candidates, because what they're getting today is a pretty standard rejection correspondence from the system when the requisition is filled. But we would love to be able to share some additional information on, this might be a good fit for you. That one wasn't, but how about this, and recommend something else. So I would say we don't have a direct metric which really measures individual recruiter treatment of candidates. But one of the things I want to share is that we implemented standard work in the fall of 2016 that has very clear goals and expectations to really get to consistent outcomes. So we tell them we are doing this because, and we break it apart into compliance considerations, candidate experience considerations, so that they know the why behind it. And that really helps our recruiters kind of make the connection to, Yes, that is going to add to time of what I have to do, but there is a reason for doing it, and this is what it's going to produce.
Has your organization and you and your team, have you begun looking, trying to quantify what the potential impact of candidate experience is on the, your healthcare organization? In other words, the potential loss and or gain based on how you're treating candidates. So whether or not they apply again, whether or not they refer others, whether or not they come to your health core organization, because if you're in a competitive market, there's a lot of choice.
Yep.
When it comes to healthcare, have you looked at, or you started looking at that yet? Is it something on your radar?
You know, it needs to be. As far as a dollar amount, we have not shared that, but just as a theory and just based off of external research, we definitely believe that. We have not quantified it. And actually, I think this is a Kevin quote, but I often use the quote that I heard you say before, that is someone going to refer again, apply again, and buy stuff again?
Yep.
And we provide services in 4 states, and we have countless opportunities to impact patients. And so the impact of candidate experience is huge. And so it's not just, I'm not going to, you know, buy clothes at that store or eat at that restaurant. I'm not going to get services from your healthcare organization. And we have such a big footprint, you know, in 4 states that we can't ignore this.
Right. Absolutely not. A couple more things, Becky, that I wanted to ask you about. So as it relates to just being involved in the Talent Board research program, mm-hmm. the Candidate Experience Awards, how has this all helped your organization? What is something that what have been a major takeaway from you from participating in the Candies?
Yeah, I think it's really given us the opportunity to benchmark against other companies who are committed to creating an exceptional experience, just as we are. I think the research itself, it really gives me the opportunity to see other innovative ideas and think, how can we implement this in our organization and really challenge ourselves to think about ways we can continually improve. So being a Candy winner, I really think it's validated our efforts. And it's also allowed us opportunities as an organization to connect with other Candy participants to share best practices. You know, we're not all in competition with one another. We share a common goal that we want to improve the candidate experience. And I really enjoy connecting with, you know, other members and other organizations just to see how we can bounce ideas off one another.
That's excellent. And then lastly, Becky, and again, thank you so much for your time today on the show. What else do you have a sweet tooth for inside of work and outside of work?
Yeah, so it's always changing as far as what else I want to do. But right now, I'm really interested in employee engagement. It obviously has impact on both talent acquisition and candidate experience. But I'm really energized by employee storytelling and giving employees a voice to share why they love what they do. I want to continue to find ways to connect our employees with the organization and with one another. And
that's
as far
excellent.
As outside of work, I am a runner. I feel like that's where a lot of my creative ideas come from, just going on a run. You know, a lot of people clear their minds on a run. I let my mind run wild on a run. So I think some of my thoughts get kind of flushed out and, you know, can we do this? Can we do that? You know, I do take some time personally to clear my mind on runs, but I use that as a creative space as well.
You are barking up the right tree here because, well, when I was more of a runner, this was before knee surgery. So, but I'm still very active and exercise quite a bit. And my wife and I go on a lot of walks and hikes, and I do my own kind of modified, I call it my weekly beach workout, because we live not too far away from a beach area where I can go down. And so whether I'm out for a walk or I'm doing my beach workout, it's the same thing with me. And I have a soundtrack behind it because I still have to listen to my music, but it is a very creative time for me to let things kind of connect, reconnect. I'm right on the money with you there, Becky. So listen, thank you so much for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you in person very soon.
Awesome, Kevin. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and research, please visit www.thetalentboard.org.